Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update podcast. It is June 26, 2023, and I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from today's John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from its hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from the previous edition of the newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to check out our history of trading videos on johnlothiannews.com on the MarketsWiki Education page, including the Open Outcry Traders History Project and the Path to Electronic Trading video series. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. On Sunday, JLN published a story and a podcast about the increase in trading volume on the floor of the CME Group after it reopened after it was closed in March 2020 for the pandemic. A significant factor behind the growth was the proliferation of a brokerage floor technology designed to improve execution and reporting of complex orders that was previously used only by Smart Confirm, the firm that developed it, and a brokerage firm named Mark Four. I wrote a story about the podcast interview I conducted with Mark Four broker Mark LeMaster and Smart Confirm developer Mike Ashcraft. You can find the story with a link in today's newsletter and the podcast as well. A podcast version of the story is available with the link in today's newsletter as well. The story is titled, "The Smart Confirm Trading Floor Renaissance is Bringing New Life to the CME Trading Floor." During FIA IDX, FIA European Principal Traders Association chairman and co-founder Mark Spanbrook stepped down as head of the group after 5 consecutive years as chairman and 12 years as a member of the FIA EPTA Executive Committee. Additionally, the FIA EPTA Executive Committee elected Alistair McGrath from Tower Research Capital Europe as the new chair. Spanbrook will remain with the group as an advisor for 6 months. The FIA welcomed GFO-X, a digital asset derivatives exchange, as a new member of the organization. GFO-X has been authorized by the Financial Conduct Authority and has partnered with LCHSA. Julie Winkler is a guest in a Deloitte On Cloud podcast series titled How CME Group is Driving Digital Transformation Success. The Financial Stability Board has issued a paper titled Enhancing Third-Party Risk Management and Oversight with the subheading A Toolkit for Financial Institutions and Financial Authorities. The Wall Street Journal has a timely article for all you cyclists titled How to Make Your Bike Really Hard to Steal with the subheading Theft Prevention, Tech for Bikes and E-Bikes is Cheap. Here are the best tools. Repeating from Friday, I need some help finding a summer internship for a young woman who is attending the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign studying advertising and informatics. She is also the sister of David Cook, the Eagle Scout who was recently hired by Nodal Exchange after I asked for help from readers for him in his job search. Elizabeth Cook is David's younger sister, who has experience as a researcher and strategist for advertising campaigns using Qualtrics and Google Sheets/Excel to look at data. She has a strong interest in understanding how and why people think the way they do. Outside the classroom, she's a swimmer, cyclist, and runner who competes in triathlons. She also enjoys living up to her name, Cook, and enjoys baking bread and new recipes. She is a musician and music fan who may just be a Swiftie. The International Sustainability Standards Board, ISSB, issued its inaugural standards, IFRS S1 and IFRS S2 on June 26. The standards create a common language for disclosing the effects on climate-related risks and opportunities on a company's prospects. The long-awaited standards were announced at the IFRS Foundation Conference 2023. You can follow the conference live stream with a link in today's newsletter. View the standards on the IFRS Foundation website with a link in today's newsletter. Correction. Our top clicked item on Thursday, as mentioned in Friday's newsletter, was the selfie Walt Lukin took at the IDX conference gala dinner in London, not the OIC conference that took place earlier this year in Nashville. It is hard to confuse London with Nashville, but sometimes when you go to these conferences, they all blend together. Unfortunately, I did not attend either, so that is no excuse. Apologies for the error. That's from Sarah Rudolph. Our most read stories in JLN Options last Friday were: option demand explodes in June as investors use bullish bets to chase stock market rally, and research finds retail option traders bet big, bet often, and Bitcoin holds $30,000 as bulls flaunt their advantage in Friday's 715 million Bitcoin options expiry. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's the story I referenced earlier. The smart confirm trading floor renaissance is bringing new life to the CME trading floor. Why has volume significantly increased in the open outcry trading pits at the CME Group in recent months compared to before the pits were closed for the COVID-19 breakout? Open outcry volume stood under 50% of total volume before COVID-19 closed the pits, but in the last 3 months, volume has been about 64%. A company called Smart Confirm might have something to do with it, the leaders of the firm say. You can listen to this podcast on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the New York Times. Harry Markowitz, Nobel-winning pioneer of modern portfolio theory, dies at 95. He overturned the traditional approach to buying stocks by examining the relationship between risk and reward. Harry M. Markowitz, an economist who launched a revolution in finance, upending traditional thinking about buying stocks and earning the Nobel in Economic Science in 1990 for his breakthrough, died on Thursday in San Diego. He was 95. My comment: a great economist from Chicago has died. Here's a story from Barron's. The headline: only half of people stay employed through their 50s. How to prepare. When Eric Schauer was laid off last July at age 55, he wasn't too worried about landing a new position. A senior manager in Albany, New York, Schauer figured the generous severance package he got from his company in the chemicals industry would tide him over until he found a new job in the tight labor market. Nearly a year later, he's been a finalist for a handful of positions but hasn't been hired yet. Schauer suspects his age may be to blame. My comment: I did not want to be a 50-year-old commodity broker because I saw too many of them who died in their 50s. The stress of being a broker is tremendous. Instead, I decided I wanted to be my own boss so I would not have the potential problem of being laid off because the world changed and my brokerage business lagged as a result. So my plan has worked, and being my own boss is one of the best things I have ever done. I love being an entrepreneur, but it also has its own challenges. It is harder to retire, but then when you love what you do, you don't want to. Here's a story from the New York Times. What financial planning looks like for LGBTQ people, the cost of family planning and transition care, and other personal finance stories from LGBTQ people. I married my wife last October in a backyard wedding that my parents hosted and covered for $5,000. My wife's mother gave us an equivalent honeymoon fund to fly us to France, and our guests were also generous, giving us, to our surprise, a few thousand dollars to start our new lives. Of course, I knew people were given money for their weddings, but this seemed like an abstract heterosexual concept to me. Free money for loving someone? In my experience, nothing about being a lesbian came without, at minimum, a metaphorical price tag. My comment: price tag generates a lot of stories you don't see the rest of the year. Here's another story, this one from the BBC. Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg agree to hold cage match. Two of the world's most high-profile technology billionaires, Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, have agreed to fight each other in a cage match. Mr. Musk posted a message on his social media platform Twitter that he was up for a cage fight with Mr. Zuckerberg. Mr. Zuckerberg, the boss of Facebook and Instagram parent company Meta, then posted a screenshot of Mr. Musk's tweet with the caption, "Send me location." My comment, can't we just put them in a cage and leave them there? Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our most clicked item Friday was FIA's LinkedIn post with pictures of the black tie gala dinner at FIA's IDX conference in London. The black tie also included a kilt and some plaid pants. Second was an IPO for a painting. This $55 million masterpiece is going public from the Wall Street Journal about a portrait by Francis Bacon painted in 1963. Third was, this trading card is so precious, it could be worth millions plus dinner in Spain, from the Wall Street Journal, about a $2 million card from the new Lords of the Ring edition, Magic the Gathering. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. First, a story from Bloomberg. The headline, FTX's final days were pure, unadulterated chaos. The collapse of SBF's crypto exchange came fast. In episode 5 of the Spellcaster podcast, old allies quickly became enemies. FTX's public meltdown started when a couple of writers got their hands on a spreadsheet that purported to show the balances of Sam Bankman-Fried's cryptocurrency trading firm, Alameda Research. James Block, who writes a crypto blog under the pseudonym Mike Bergersberg, said that when a source sent the spreadsheet to him in late October 2022, he clicked on it and started laughing. It looks nothing like a traditional real balance sheet from a real company, he said. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, crypto custodian Prime Trust teeters on bank of collapse. The company previously stored assets and provided bank-like services to crypto firms Binance, US FTX, and Celsius. Another crypto quasi-bank appears to be on the brink. Prime Trust, a state-chartered trust company that serves as a custodian for crypto firms, is feared by digital asset investors to be on the verge of failing after being rebuked by its state regulator and abandoned by a potential acquirer. Las Vegas-based Prime Trust has a shortfall of customer funds and was unable to honor customer withdrawals this week, according to the Nevada Department of Business and Industry. And then finally, here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline, London's brokers face a crunch as downturn picks off the weakest. Smaller firms in the square mile are increasingly looking to merge as a way to survive. John Ferrugia spent last Christmas in Dubai studying merger models. The chief executive of FinCap Group PLC was just months into his new role as he weighed up potential partners for the London-based firm when he was meant to be on holiday. His deliberations led eventually to a tie-up with Suncoast Securities PLC, announced in March, following unsuccessful talks with another rival. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling your friends about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.